Heavenly Father, as we think of your majesty, as we think of your Son, and as we think of your Holy Spirit, we ask, as David has already prayed, that you would be very active in our church this morning. That you'd be very active with our children and our young people this morning. And that all would know the dove that lands upon them. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, good to see you all, and good to see you on this very important day. I don't know if you realize this, but Israel were never really meant, I suppose, in a sense, to have a king. They were supposed to be so different than all the other nations that God was meant to be their king, but they asked for one, and God graciously gave them a king. Now, the problem was that there were highs and lows to this, but the quality of the leader always contributed to the state of the nation. So if you read down lots of long lists of kings in the Old Testament, you'll see that such and such a king was good, and such a king did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and all that sort of stuff. The quality and the character of the king always impacted on the state of the nation. Let me give you a few examples. From Acts 13, verse 22, we read about King David, who is Israel's most famous king. This is what it says. After removing Saul, they made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. But then we read about, in 1 Kings 16:25, about a guy called Omri. And Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. And a few verses later, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. The quality of a king, the quality of a monarch, contributes in the Bible to the state of the nation. Well, today we want to mark something often taken for granted, that we have had and do have an honourable, God-fearing, but crucially Christian monarch who has served her people and her God with integrity. Not perfection, of course, but integrity for 70 years. And that has been good, I think we'd all agree, for the nation. Notable too that her speeches have actually become increasingly spiritual, increasingly explicit about her Christian faith. My history of watching the Queen's speech as a kind of annual Christmas ritual only began since I married Zara 10 years ago. I didn't pick up their annual Christmas ritual of watching EastEnders on Christmas Day to depress me, but we did pick up watching the Queen. And I've been struck in those 10 years of her desire to make much of Christ in her speeches. I think we've already heard during her message to the Commonwealth in 2011, after speaking about her family, said, although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. It can heal broken families. It can restore friendships. It can reconcile divided communities. It is in forgiveness that we feel the power of God's love. So, in respect of a queen who has made much of Jesus, I want to do what she has done and make much of her God and our God, her Father, and our Heavenly Father, her King and our King. I just want to think through two very simple ideas this morning. The first is that we have a king who crowns. We have a king who crowns. The queen was crowned 70 years ago, but in a recent enough BBC documentary, Queen Elizabeth described crowns as unwieldy things. She said this: you can't look down to read the speech, you have to take the speech up, because if you did, your neck would break or the crown would fall off. There are many disadvantages to crowns, but otherwise I suppose they're quite important things. I don't know if you realise this, but Psalm 8 is a very, very, very important passage of the Bible, because it says something powerful. It says that every human being is crowned. Every human being is crowned. It says in verse 5, this is quite a controversial little passage, verse 5, because it says, you have made mankind, humankind, a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned them with glory and honor. Now, why is that important? Because God says he made us a little lower than the heavenly beings. The word is actually Elohim. Okay, and Elohim can mean God or it can mean angels. So you can have either of those. You can be crowned a little lower than the angels, or you could even read that as being crowned a little lower than God. What a thing. You're crowned. You have real dignity. You're special. The queen was crowned 70 years ago, but humanity were crowned at the very beginning, a little lower than God, or a little lower than the angels. But the story of the gospel, and we reflected this a bit in our confession, is that we surrendered that royal identity. There's been a lot of that in the news as well, hasn't there? People deciding to surrender the royal identity. But we didn't go to America, we left Eden. And the famous writer, I know there's some Lord of the Rings fans here. Michael's one of them. Aren't you, Michael? I think so. J.R.R. Tolkien wrote this: we all long for Eden. We are constantly glimpsing it, our whole nature at its best and least corrupted, its gentleness and most human, is still soaked with the sense of exile. So we were crowned, but we are now exiled royals. The beautiful thing is that Jesus won our crowns back for us. And after his resurrection, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I give it to you. Jesus went to death to get back our crowns. One of my favorite stories is one about Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa was doing this phenomenal work in Calcutta, as you know. And there was some skepticism in the Western media over why this person was doing this work. And a skeptical reporter went to investigate what she did. And the first thing that he noticed about what she did was she was ministering to people who had nothing. So there was absolutely no financial gain for her ministering to them. There was absolutely no thing that she was going to build from this ministry, because she was ministering to people in the last hours of their lives. And this reporter couldn't make any sense of it. But it was one particular interaction she had with a man with no arms and no legs. And his body was degrading. And he was in the very last hours of his life. And Mother Teresa ministered to him, apparently with a wet sponge or a wet cloth on his forehead. And the reporter, cynical as he was writing his notes, he noticed tears starting to fall on his page. And the reason for those tears were the words of that man as he slipped into eternity. He said this: all my life I've lived like a dog, but today I die like a king. All my life I've lived like a dog, but today I die like a king. That is something of what Jesus does for us. Royals who have lost their crowns, he restores our royal identity. You know, as part of Queen Elizabeth's coronation, there is something called the investiture. And the investiture, which includes the crowning, is her being given the crown jewels. Now, I think it was at the GFS display, I was sharing that the crown jewels, they think, are worth around £6 billion, okay? And the Queen was given sort of access to this incredible fortune in the Tower of London. But it's interesting that she's told when she's given a Bible. And they've done this in all previous coronations since 1689. That she's told, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. And these are the lively oracles of God." What's she been told? She's saying that if you are to be a royal, if you are to be a royal with integrity, if you're to be a royal worthy of the crown, this is your manual. This is the book. This is the most valuable thing that this world affords. Hold on tightly to it. And we're thankful that the Queen has held on tightly to that book. We have a king who crowns. But secondly, we also have a king who anoints. A king who anoints. Jesus is called Messiah. And Messiah very simply means anointed one. Isaiah 61, that famous passage of scripture that Jesus evoked in his hometown, said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me for kingdom work." The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Acts 10, verse 38 says, "And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Jesus was the anointed one. He was the anointed one, the Messiah. Well, 70 years ago, the Queen was anointed by the Archbishop of Canterbury. The anointing ritual, which happens before this given access to the crown jewels, this anointing ritual is hidden from view. The Knights of the Garter hold this sort of canopy over her. It's a private moment where a monarch thinks about, reflects on the significance of being touched with that oil and all that it means. The camera from the television companies are turned away, and the Archbishop anoints her with this oil on her hands, on her breast, and on her head. Apparently, the vial containing this original oil had been destroyed in the war in a bombing, but a firm of chemists mixed up the oil that Queen Elizabeth II was anointed with. It was a special oil with all of these different things: ambergris, I don't know how to pronounce these, civet, orange flowers, roses, jasmine, cinnamon, musk, all this secret ingredients that go in to this oil that she was anointed with. It must have smelt amazing. But 1 John 2 verse 20 says this of the church, and says this to our church. And we can say it today on the birthday of the church. 1 John 2 verse 20. "For you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have divine knowledge." Think about that. Jesus was the anointed one. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was upon him, and he was anointed. But 1 John 2 verse 20 says that we too have been anointed, not with a mixture of ambergris and orange flowers and roses and jasmine, but by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just smell divine, it is divine. The Holy Spirit poured out on you. What a thing. What a thing. the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, wants to crown you today. He wants to crown you as a working royal in his holy priesthood. He wants to give you back the crown that was lost and restore your identity. Even if all your life you've lived like a dog, he wants to crown you as a king or a queen. He wore a crown of thorns to give you this crown of glory. I'm sure we've heard of an American Christian band called Casting Crowns. Have we heard of this? Who's heard of that band, Casting Crowns? The reason why Casting Crowns were named is because of a beautiful passage in Revelation about the saints casting down their crowns. And in just a few moments, we're going to sing a song called Crown Him with Many Crowns. And in that beautiful song, it speaks of casting down our golden crowns. Casting crowns. Isn't it wonderful that even though we lost our crowns, Jesus restored them? Isn't it wonderful that we'll wear them in heaven if we choose to follow him? And isn't it wonderful that we, like the Queen and like all other Christians, will one day cast our crowns down to the King of Kings? Folks, the Lord wants to crown us today, and most beautifully, he wants to anoint us with his Holy Spirit today. Let's stand together. Folks, can I just, in an act of response, just ask you to put yourself in the place of prayer. I want you just to follow, whether you're here or watching online, just the logic of this, that we have such dignity and we are crowned. But so many of us, right across our world, have lost the crown jewels. And Jesus wears a crown of thorns to get us our crowns back. In our hearts, let's just thank the Lord Jesus for restoring our crowns. Secondly, let's just thank the Lord Jesus for his anointing. Thank him that he went to the Father and the Holy Spirit was poured out on every heart who would receive it. Let's just ask now for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in a similar way to it was poured out 70 years ago in that anointing oil, that our heads would have oil poured out over them. Lord, I pray that we would think like anointed people. Pour out your Holy Spirit on our heads. Lord, I pray for the anointing oil that was put onto the Queen's hands. Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on our hands? We pray that we would do things. We would be working royals who honor and please you. Lord, we want to thank you for the hands that are playing these musical instruments at the front here. We want to thank you for the hands that are serving our children and young people today, the hands that opened up and prepared this building this morning. Use each of our hands, Lord. Pour out your anointing on them. But most importantly, Lord, we ask you today to anoint our hearts. The oil that was poured out on the breast at the coronation. We ask in this private moment that you would fill up our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Set our hearts ablaze, we pray, with the Holy Spirit. Make us people who love Jesus and want to serve him with all that we are. Pour out your Spirit on our hearts today. Father, may we be a crowned church and an anointed church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.